all who shall see these presents, greetings. I'm Adam Best. This is Veterans in the Wild.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. Welcome to another show, ladies and gentlemen. There's no need for a preview or a summary of today's show. We're going to jump right into it. Leadership is on life support. It's on attack in our homes, in our businesses, our communities, in the nation, and in our world. It's unpopular to be a leader. The characteristics demanded of a leader are absolutely under attack. They're villainized, they're unpopular. And you just see leadership less and less these days. It's just, it's a hard road to toe. And so less and less people are taking it. And the mainstream media narrative is just demonizing, truly demonizing people who are trying to hold that line. As I said, you see it with in our homes. I do think it does start a lot with parents. Sometimes parents want to be more friends to their children than to actually discipline them when it's required, or they just avoid a hard situation because they just don't want to have it make their day worse. They have the stress of work. They have all the other things that are stressed in their lives, and they just don't want a difficult situation with the kid. But sometimes that's absolutely what being a parent requires. We see a lack of discipline in our businesses, specifically over the last 18 months with COVID-19. We've seen some businesses who absolutely focus on the bottom line, on their shareholders, and we see businesses who focus on the employees. We see businesses who react very differently to the COVID-19 mandates, and those businesses are going to have long-term impacts one way or the other based on how they reacted and based on who their customers are. We see a complete lack of leadership in our communities, whether it's public opinion being swayed by narratives always being changed in the media, or whether it's just public figures not just taking responsibility because it's just easier just to pass the buck. Or it's not even popular anymore to say, yes, I was responsible for that. I am the guy to blame. Or it's also become so common where you see people have a scandal or you see something come up from people's past and they go to a public apology. They say, I take responsibility for it, which is not at all taking responsibility for it. It's just words. It's just lip service. It's pathetic is truly what it is. And then everyone just acts like it's okay. It's, oh, I'm sorry. I take responsibility. We're done here, aren't we? You know, there's no more hurt. There's nothing that's actually wrong. I took responsibility and everything's okay now. It's horseshit. It's pathetic. Since most of this audience listening is probably either veterans or related to the veteran community, I assume that probably hits home, but a lot of what I remember about leadership started with the biggest foundation of leadership is built on responsibility and authority. Leaders always have authority that they can delegate, but you can never give away your responsibility as a leader. So there's 100 examples of this in, there's 100 military examples of this, but a real quick civilian example would be if my son's getting a little older, he's able to walk our dog now. He's, you know, I would trust him, but if he's walking the dog down the street and the dog breaks loose and goes and bites somebody, who's responsible for that situation? The dog? My son? I know they're the only people from my family that are out there and involved, right? So one of them has to be responsible, right? I'm not there. I can't be responsible for it. I mean, I am the parent. I'm the legal owner of the dog, but I wasn't there. So why should I be responsible for it? It can't be on my shoulders, right? So let's look at this. The dog's an animal. It can't have any responsibility. The child is a minor and by legal definition cannot own property and doesn't really have any rights, doesn't really have any responsibilities. Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's juveniles with certain high crimes, but that's not where we're talking about. So the dog is an animal and there's a minor involved. I mean, I could be somewhere halfway across the world, but I'm pretty sure all of that situation is going to fall on me, especially if someone wants to sue. So it's a pretty good example where my son has the authority to take my dog for a walk. He's probably going to do it right. But if that situation arises, all of that falls back on to the quote unquote leaders of the family, the parents. Well, is that how the situation plays out in every household across the country, every household across the world? Not likely. But that's a quick example of the son has the authority to walk the dog, but it's still my responsibility for what happens on that walk. And that is a big difference of proper leadership and what I would say is pathetic leadership. Who stands up and says, I wasn't even in that situation, but it's my fault that it happened? Or who says, yeah, I authorized that to happen. I said I was okay with it. It screwed up and it is on me and I'm going to go fix it. You really just don't see that in society today. You don't see that in all the places I name, the homes, the communities, the businesses. And I'm sure it probably drives veterans crazier than anybody because I feel like we come through a crucible of leadership. If there's, you know, the top five companies that train on leadership, the military probably has a seat at that table. It might be the valedictorian of that table. but I mean, the military's got some black eyes for their leadership as well. So, you know, but it definitely has a seat at the table. Something I posted on Instagram today, our Veterans in the Wild account, was that you can be a leader, but not actually leading anyone. And so in the civilian world, this sort of translates as, in the civilian world, sometimes more as management, but sometimes they want to be leaders because it's either a buzzword or it's, they think, well, if we have leaders, not managers, we're going to accomplish more. So the words sort of get casually interwoven a lot. And a conversation I was having with a friend recently sort of did kind of challenge my thinking was, and I knew part of this. The idea was that not all managers are going to be leaders. What I hadn't really considered was that not all leaders can be good managers, but it does make sense in that. The example I thought of was Steve Jobs, a visionary, I guess is the word probably most identified with him. You know, he thought of taking the iPod, his new baby for Apple at one point. You know, he revolutionized what was, you know, the Walkman, which played a cassette tape, and then he took it to a CD player. Well, he didn't take it to a CD player, went to a CD player. And then music got digitized and he put it out where he's like, you can have all these songs in this one tiny device. And then in his vision, he said, we're going to sacrifice that device. We're going to cut that off. We're going to put all that into your phone. You know, true visionary ideas. But if you know anything about Steve Jobs' history or his life, he was an awful manager. He didn't do well with people. He didn't... He didn't have the EQ or like the soft skills for people. He was, I see what I want to do. Let's get to it. But he couldn't always bring the team along as well. So, and he's a great example of the difference of like maybe more visionary versus manager. But one key component of leadership is definitely having a vision. another way in the business world, I see, or maybe I differentiate managers versus leaders. I sort of think of managers as someone who sort of has like a checklist, my parameters, and I got to keep my people in the box. I got to get three of these. I got to get 16 of these. Nope. Timmy, come back. We got to get 16. We only got 14. Come on, Timmy. Come back. A leader is the guy who says, okay, there's the box. He goes and grabs a can of gasoline. He lights the box on fire. So everyone has to jump out of the box. And now he goes, good. We're all going to think outside of the box because the box doesn't fucking exist anymore, guys. Let's get going. Here's the direction we need to go in. And he starts moving the team where he or she wants them to go. You see this a lot, particularly in the military or when a good new CEO comes into a business. One of the very first things he or she does is they say, okay, here's my top three or top five. Here's my big priorities, or here's my vision for the company. Here's where we need to fix my top three goals. What this does and why this is so crucial is not just that everyone can say, okay, I know where the leader's trying to go, but it also gets everyone rowing in the same direction. And because there's that famous guidance that says, you know, a boat where everyone's rowing in a different direction is certainly going nowhere. And a key in what's so important when a new commanding officer, a new CEO comes in, a new leader comes into any organization, or just the guy who's going to take charge of three people in a fire squad, is that vision needs to be a compelling vision. You need to have that vision be so inspiring that it speaks to everyone and gets them to go, I like what he's saying. I want to do that. Let's all get together. Let's move out. And as I was sort of researching the show, I came across a beautiful quote from, I hope I say this correctly, Anton de Saint-Exupéry. I'm probably sure I didn't say that correctly. But he says, if you want to build a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And I thought that was really awesome because it's, if you think about that, that's, you know, don't teach them that every day the grind requires, you know, move the rocks from pile A to pile B. It doesn't require the mundane, monotonous work, but it's, hey, the grand picture of what we're doing here, you know, in the military case is defending the country or defending our brothers and sisters. Or for a leader who walks into a new company, it's, hey, here's where I see the company going, and here's the exciting things we could do. You may not like the work we have to do to get there, but here's why it's important, or here's what we're going to accomplish by doing it. So I've sort of attacked leadership so far, but what I've also realized in a couple of other conversations is that the great thing about it is that it can truly start with yourself. And since we're mostly a veteran community, and as I said before, if you're talking about leadership, the military is kind of one of the best. One of the ways I think it does it so well, or one of the reasons I think the military does leadership so well, is that it gives responsibility to the E1 and the E2 that didn't even figure out where the chow hall is yet. And it gives responsibility all the way up to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And it expects the same responsibility all the way up and down the chain. It also teaches leadership in situations where bullets are flying, where you don't know the geography because you don't live there and you're halfway across the world. you know, and in the middle of the ocean where you can't control the waves that are coming and you don't know what the other guy is doing, or he's 10,000 feet above you, or he's 600 feet below you. I mean, leadership in military tactical warfare setting is certainly some of the most dynamic leadership you can experience. However, what I do definitely want service members to prepare for is that there's absolutely about to come a gap when you take off the uniform. It's an acknowledged gap, but it's not always discussed. Civilian leadership, I would not say it holds a candle to military leadership, and it's going to smack you in the face one day when you get out. I think the reason it's such a smack in the face is that in the military, it's so revered and it's so important to have proper leadership, because we have situations where bullets fly and where poor leadership can get people killed. There's not many situations like that in the civilian world, and it's just not as emphasized as it was when we were serving. So it's definitely something you need to prepare for. Luckily, as I said, the best place to start is to working on yourself. Gandhi actually said that better. He said, you need to be the change you want to see in the world. So it's truly the way that the drive shifts in the world that we desperately need, because the country is divided, the world's in a chaotic place. So take a page from the military's playbook, include some of the crucial daily elements that the armed forces uses. Physical fitness, training for critical job functions. You know, the military, at least when I was in the Navy, we did general quarters drills, we did firefighting drills, we did things that, you know, I mean, a fire can take out a ship in a matter of minutes. So we trained for that all the time. You do training drills for this kind of terrorist threat, this kind of shooter attack, this kind of, you know, what if it's a missile? What if it's a submarine threat? All the different attacks, we trained for all of them because we had to be prepared for all of them. Every day, we also cleaned the ship. We had meals at the same time every single day. We knew through the plan of the day what was coming in the future. We planned for that. We trained for that. And we also knew what we're doing in the future, when we deployed, when we're going to be at sea, when we're going to be at home in port. All of those things helped sailors on ships understand what the ship was doing, where they were going, what their lives were going to include, and why they were doing what they were doing. Take all of those same things, put them in your daily playbook, make your plan of the day, and move forward smartly. That's the best way to change the world, like Gandhi said, is to be the changes in your own life. So the best way to start learning proper leadership, or the most way to even change the world, is to be properly leading yourself. Have a vision for where you want your world to go, and then execute every day on accomplishing and achieving that goal. And the funny reality is, I'm not cracking a code here. You can listen to, you know, thousands on social media saying the same thing. Have the discipline to do the mundane, crucial tasks day in and day out. And it's maybe the only possible road to success. Take a play from what the military has been doing all the time. They just force it upon their members. They say, you guys have to go do this. We're going to go run now. You're required. Go. But in the same way, it's the same thing successful people do all the time. They include their physical fitness. They include the mundane tests. They train for the future, just like the military did to you. Or if you weren't in, but I mean, you can see the parallels. Absolutely. So again, I do want to emphasize this current service members, and I'm sure it's a lesson that veterans already know. You need to be self-reliant. Back in episode 14, Gary McDermott, the passive income specialist, was talking about that you need to have a plan for yourself, because the military is not going to have a plan for you after you get out. You know, you might get a retirement, you might get healthcare benefits, but they're not going to say, okay, Timmy, here's what you go do. You're going to go work here for 10 years. You're going to do this. You're going to put this in savings. You're going to buy this house at age 50, and you're going to have a perfect life. They're going to say, thank you for your service. Here's your benefits. Good luck. That's it. And beyond Gary, you've also heard from multiple guests of ours who've been so happy that they prepared 18 months, 24 months, 2 years in advance of getting out, that they were able to start a business, or they were well on the road of getting to where they were trying to go. Like my case, and like many others, though, I didn't have a great plan when I got out. And many others, it sort of emphasized what's already a difficult transition from getting out of the military, going into the civilian world, adding on top of it, not having a proper plan of, okay, how am I going to achieve success, at least going from job A to job B, even if you don't consider it that it's military lifestyle to civilian lifestyle. And most importantly, I mean, the sage wisdom always says that, you know, time is going to pass anyway, so why not use the time wisely? And if we've seen anything over the last 18 months, COVID's taught us that you have to be prepared for absolutely everything. No one saw that a cold strain was going to take out the entire world, shut down the economy, do everything it's done to the world for the last 18 months. So truly, I mean, the transition out of the military certainly is a challenging time of life, and being prepared for it is critically important. I guess my key takeaway today is that in addition to the lack of leadership in the world, it's going to be a surprise for veterans going into the civilian world. There is definitely a difference in civilian leadership, and there's definitely a gap in the quality from military leadership to civilian leadership. So prepare yourselves well, and I'd certainly love to continue the conversation with anyone who'd love to talk more about leadership. In 2 weeks, we're going to have another guest coming on the show talking specifically about leadership. His motto is that leadership is a people business. John Rennie is a former submarine officer who now runs a business with that whole mantra. Leadership is a people business. So he'll have a lot of good information for us, and I'm really excited to see where our conversation goes, because I've been following John for about 6 months now, and it's fun to see all the things he's done with his passion project. So yeah, like I said, I'd really love to see if you have any questions, thoughts on leadership, or what your thoughts are, like I said. And of course, we do appreciate your support for the show. If that's sharing it with a friend, giving us a like or a review on social media, or just anything you can do to help us continue to grow. We'd like to deliver high quality guests and high quality content for you. And the best way we can do that is with your support. We appreciate you.